Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee 100% that you might learn something, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is... No, wait! It's a surprise. It's not joining me, as always. It's joining me sometimes, John Wallen, noted Roberto Firmino lover, also at Fantasy Gaffer on Twitter, also of Play Toga. John, what's happening with you, baby?
Not a whole lot, man. Listen, I should be joining you as always, but for some reason you seem to think that the off-canter, off-kilt, somewhat blue comedy of Rob FPLMNOPQRSTUVLMNOP is a better choice of co-host, and that's cool, man. I'm all right with that.
I mean, you chose Mike as a better co-host. Listen, there was a time where we could have ended up together, but
technically Mike chose me.
Okay, that's fair, but I'm just saying, you know, we chose different paths, and I'm happy for you, and I still want the best for you, but it just didn't work out between us. And I don't want you to hold on to like any hatred or anger about that. Just know I'm happy for your success, and all I hope is that you can be happy for mine.
Kev, real talk. When this didn't work, man, I just, you know, I did a lot of soul searching. Yeah. I did a lot of introspection. I did a lot of guided, focused meditation. Mm-hmm. And I said, what Kevin really needs in his life is a 72-year-old divorcee, chain-smoking, gamble-holic Jersey resident. And when Norm MacDonald wasn't available to co-host your show, yeah, I knew that you and Rob were a match made in heaven.
Yeah, no, I think that's it's a very good point and is a perfect description of Rob, and nobody Google that. It's just true. Just accept it as true. All right, John, we did do one of these shows a couple weeks back that you were not on, unfortunately, citing precedence. But that's definitely how legal terms work, lawyer words. But we're just going to quickly run through each of the matches and just kind of give our quick thoughts on them. Obviously, we haven't had loads of time to research or anything because matches just ended. We're trying to get this out to you, the people, as soon as possible, since there will be lineup locks on Tuesday for the midweek matches. So, John, if you will indulge me, let's just dive straight in with the first match of the weekend, which is going to be Burnley versus Stoke. Burnley, absolutely, obviously, a bit of a surprise package this season. A lot of people had them tipped for relegation. Cough me. Not so much the case. Goodmanson is picked up right where Brady left off. I do like him. On the Stoke side of things, Mama Biram Diouf has the upside of actually playing striker again after being forced to play wingback again sometimes this season, but has the downside of playing in one of the most uninspired teams I have ever seen play this sport.
I mean, there's a strong, strong list of contenders for most uninspired to ever play in Premier League season currently going on. And I don't care that West Ham just managed to knock off Chelsea in a 1-0 Marco the Sharko Arnautovic effort. The reality is, Kev, I mean, you and I talk about this constantly offline, but like there's very few teams that you would believe in week in, week out. And I know you weren't sold on Burnley in the summer. I love Burnley as a mid-table team. Your regular co-host was really sprung on Diouf, and thanks to Rob, I jumped on him in a couple of leagues, and I benefited from that 3 or 4 match run, game weeks like 8 to 11, where he banged a goal a match. So, you know, credit where it's due. But at the end of the day, if we're looking at these teams at the bottom end of the table, for the first time in a long time, I don't feel like there's any fantasy value to be had at the bottom end. I mean, usually, I mean, right, Rob, when Rob's on, he mm-hmm. would normally say, like, he's trying to jump on a guy like Tammy Abraham from Swansea
yeah.
or Antonio from West Ham, because, like, you try and find the high value on the low-end teams because you usually can get them for less value, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this year, Kev, like, 17 right now is West Brom, 18 is West Ham, 19 is Swansea, 20 is Crystal Palace. And, like, I'm not sold on any of those guys.
Yeah, it's been a really weird one. Although, especially in your format, in Toga, I do really like the trend of Crystal Palace. I know Benteke just missed his penalty, but with Kabay and Townsend both sitting top five in accurate crosses over the last 5 weeks, they've been top five in chances created recently. There could be some stuff coming from Palace, but I agree with you on the whole that Stoke are pretty uninspiring, as are many others around that place in the table. Speaking of Crystal Palace, talking about them next, they're going to be hosting Watford, who have also, kind of like Burnley, been a fun surprise this season. Richarlison and Doucouré obviously being the fantasy surprises thus far. What do you think we'll see in this one, and who should people be looking for?
Well, it's a good question, and I like that you just led with Kabaye and tagged into Goodmanson as well, because Goodmanson in his limited minutes does already have 20 chances created, 15 key passes, 5 fantasy assists. Of course, all those coming in, I think, the last 6 Burnley matches. When you flip over to Crystal Palace, I think, Kev, you're sticking with those guys that we always wanted to believe in, but we weren't sure that they were going to be able to deliver in fantasy the way that they do week by week in the real life game.
Yeah.
And it's Kabay, it's Ruben Loftus-Cheek, it's certainly Wilfried Zaha. And when you're looking at the OFPL, and I don't know what other formats, you know, the guys that what other formats you guys typically talk about, but, you know, if I'm looking at midfielders there, and Zaha's price is 6.9%, Townsend at 5.7, Loftus-Cheek at 4.6. Those guys, you know, they're all pretty heavily owned. But for me, it's still Johan Kabay. He's 5.4 million. He's 0.3% owned. That is a 0.3% owned. Are you kidding me? He's got 2 assists in his last 4. He's got 13 points in his last 4. And keep in mind that West Brom match in game week 13, he did not play. So, yeah. I mean, like, this dude, he's primed to be a phenomenally good fantasy asset regardless. You and I, you know, you just mentioned Taga a minute ago, and of course, you know, we love the fact that he's creating tons of chances, because in, you know, a draft, or if you're playing daily or playing goal, whatever, all those places, you know, Johan Kabay right now is sitting on 28 chances created, 25 key passes plus 3 assists. He's got a goal. He's got 7 shots on target. You know, depending on if you're playing a format that values defense, he's got 16 tackles won, another 15 clearances, and 36 interceptions. I mean, that's like N'Golo Kante light plus, you know, Cesc Fabregas light.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a really nice combination.
Yeah, I really like Kabay as well. Unsurprisingly, you and I thinking somewhat similar on players, although I was high on Townsend in the offseason, and you all thought I was crazy, and I do contend that if Zaha and Benteke had started the season well and they had kept Frank de Boer, I would have been right, but nobody can ever prove I would have been wrong. Next up,
your boy Smokey owns Andras Townsend in the 12-team Taga League that you and I play in together.
He probably listened to me more than he should have. next up, we have Huddersfield versus Chelsea. You were just talking about Fabregas. I almost said Wilfred Ndidi. That's super incorrect. N'Golo Kante. Fabregas, I love that we got quotes from Antonio Conte saying why he's going to be in his lineup most weeks, that they finally found the right way to pair him with Conte, unlike how last year we had to deal with Matic. This year, Bakayoko was kind of there, but it sounds like he really is going to favor Fabregas, which makes him a terrific fantasy option. He continues to be also on those creative lists that we just mentioned, currently the third most chances created over the last 5 matches, which obviously you like. But Chelsea hit a speed bump this last week against a very, very poor West Ham team. Huddersfield looked like they were clearly trending downwards. We talked about it a lot in the lead up to this week of Huddersfield versus Brighton, because Brighton were trending up, Huddersfield were trending down. Then they pop up with a 2-0 win. My boy Steve Mounier, who you may be familiar with from our talk.
I'm sorry. Are we getting fancy about Steve Mounier? Is that what we're doing now?
He's French.
Are we getting super fancy about
Steve
Mounier?
That's his name. It's not my fault if you did not come here with your pinky raised and your cutlery set outside in. But anyway, do you think Chelsea should recover big, or do you think Huddersfield could offer another consecutive surprise?
Well, it's interesting because after we're done doing your show, I'm going to have the honor of hosting you on an edition of Talk and Taga, where I have been widely panning your friend and mine, Mike Phillips, impressions of Cesc Fabregas, because Mike loves Cesc as a first or second round pick in FPL draft, and he has for the last three seasons. And, you know, you, me, Rob, everyone under the sun has always knocked him for that because of Fabregas' playing time. Mm. But currently, and Kev, you probably already know this, but for people that don't, among midfielder eligible players in the OFPL, it's N'Golo Kanté with 1,156 minutes, Cesc Fabregas with 1,136 minutes, mm-hmm. and no other Chelsea midfielder has broken 1,000.
Yeah.
Of course, Hazard, we expect to do that. He missed the first three or four matches of the season, already up to 807. But it is likely going to be the three of them. Bakayoko is going to come in to fill in for either Kanté or Fabregas, Willian, Pedro. They're going to slot in and out as they need to. And, of course, Conte's going to, you know, rotate Drinkwater in there. But mm-hmm. this is now a Cesc Fabregas-led midfield. And it doesn't take a whole lot of research to be able to click two buttons and look down and see that in 2014-15, Cesc Fabregas had a 19-assist season,
yep.
you know, in 28-84. That last year, in just 13-40, he had 5 goals and 15 assists. The man's an amazing FPL asset.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to own him, you're just deluding yourself. His price at 6.9 in the official game and 4.7% selected those things are going to look ridiculous when we come back. You know, those are going to be like Bitcoin light prices. We're going to be looking at Cesc Fabregas as $1,000 Bitcoin and wondering why everybody didn't jump in on him.
Yeah, I think you would agree with me on this, that in both regular football analysis and in fantasy, people get stuck on their...
I might also say it, Kev, but I'm not going to agree with you.
Okay, I mean, don't. But I think people get caught on their opinions of players for about 6 months too long, always. And if you look through things like that, if you look through these statistics more regularly, I think you'll be surprised by the players that have turned things around right now in both fantasy and real life. Nicolas Otamendi having an incredible season, still see people panning him. Like when Kompany got hurt, somebody say, why couldn't it have been Otamendi? And I don't think they understand what's been happening at that club of late. This is going to be the break between the Tuesday and Wednesday matches. So this will also be our quick break where we're going to go pay some bills and then we'll be right back with all the Wednesday fixtures.
Can I jump in? I mean, listen, all due respect to your advertisers, mm-hmm. but I find it hard to believe that anything that you're selling is more important than selling FPL managers on Nicolas Otamendi, who has 6 clean sheets and 4 goals scored in 13-30 this season. He's got 80 points. Of those points, 11 of them have already been bonus points. He scored bonus points in 4 matches out of his 16. And you have to remember, it's only 15 for him because he missed game week 12 against Leicester.
Yeah, although admittedly, those clean sheets have not been coming lately, but the goals have been offsetting that dip. And you would assume that they will return at some point, although maybe don't buy in right now with Tottenham just over the horizon. On to the promised Wednesday fixtures. They're going to start off, well, kind of. There are a lot of concurrent kickoffs. But first listed is Newcastle versus Everton. Everton pop up with a draw against Liverpool today, much to your chagrin. I was way higher on Wayne Rooney than I should have been in the offseason, but that continues to pay off with 4 goals in his last 5 matches. Not saying it's pretty. I'm saying look at the points at the end of the day. What do you think?
Well, let me ask
here?
You this, Kev. Mm-hmm. No, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, go for it.
Because Wayne Rooney is at 7.3 million in the OFPL, yep. and you know we can talk about other games if you want. He's played 1,068 minutes, and Calvert-Lewin is 5.2, so that's 2.1 million less, and he has played almost 1,000 minutes more, and that's. I mean, that's phenomenal, right? And then when you flip that around and you look at their total scores and you say Rooney is 15 points higher than Calvert-Lewin, but exclusively because of the goals scored. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you buying? And again, part of that 70 total points scored is based on that penalty that he just got against Liverpool. Are you buying Calvert-Lewin as the better buy in OFPL because he's doing more from open play?
Well, in your format, obviously, Calvert-Lewin is doing more. Just because of his involvement during play, Rooney tends to just pop up when he pops up. He's like if Defoe was a midfielder, which is not a compliment. But I think...
Saint Germain.
Yeah, but I think you kind of have to like both of them. I mean, four of the next matches, Newcastle, Swansea, West Brom, Bournemouth. And this West Brom defense is not the one that just popped in your mind when I said that, nor is Bournemouth. Chelsea, the one in the middle there, who have stepped it up a lot defensively of late. So you like that run. You could own both in pretty much any format. Not in your team. You could own either. Sorry. In either format. I personally think that Calvert-Lewin is the better option just because of price. The price-to-point ratio is obviously much higher for him despite having fewer total points, as you pointed out. I'd buy Dominic Calvert-Lewin. If you're somebody that was still stuck with somebody like Diouf in the official game, or if you foolishly bought in on Glenn Murray when I literally told everybody not to, I mean, that's on you, but you can also move to Calvert-Lewin if you'd like, because unlike those other guys, he's sustaining it. This isn't like Murray who popped up with one match. This isn't Callum Wilson who popped up with one match. If you look historically, if you try to buy in on a player that just had a big week for the first time in a long time, you already missed it. You missed the good week. And you can't make up for that by buying them in the next one. But I think Calvert-Lewin, with how involved he is consistently reliable if you're looking for a price dump forward.
I hear you. Could you take a break from selling us on Micro Machines to tell me whether or not you thought Dominic Calvert-Lewin should have been able to draw that penalty that gave Everton an undeserved 1-1 draw?
I will say, as I have always said on our Premier League show, you can't give a referee a chance to make a decision.
Yeah, that's true. And I retweeted that tweet when you sent it.
Yep.
And Lovren made the mistake of
putting his hands on a player running away from goal.
Yeah, so silly.
Why would you do that? Why on earth? I'm sure you, just like any red-blooded Liverpool fan, cannot wait to see the back of Dejan Lovren. In this match, who do you think wins? I mean, we didn't really talk about Newcastle. I guess you have to
I like Newcastle.
Popping up no, with
I
some like, stuff.
Yeah, I like Newcastle over Everton in this one. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you, but like the reality here is the only two Everton players that I'm willing to invest in currently are Omar Nias and Gylfi Sigurdsson, and that's because I believe in the minute to goal assist ratio that Nias has shown, and I believe in Gylfi's overall skill. So if you know you're trusting any of them, it's going to be them. Newcastle, I don't want any part of any of their OFPL assets, but I think they win. You know what I mean? And I think that's a disaster for people that are trying to buy in on it. With Lascelles out and with this goalkeeper roulette Rafa's playing. I mean, dude, like where are you on this? This is garbage.
It's one of the most frustrating things you've ever seen, because it isn't like they're two good options like Tottenham wingbacks.
Right.
These are two bad options, and you're not really bettering yourself with either. But somebody on the Newcastle side.
That's my point, right? Like, I'd rather own some of the Manchester City midfielders and like trust that Pep maybe likes my guy this week than try and bet on which idiot Rafa's going to throw out there.
That's
going to
concede anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The player that does need to be noted, though, is Dwight Gayle, who has 3 goals in his last 5 matches, an assist and a goal in his latest. We saw what he did in the championship last season. I think he finished 2nd, if memory serves, behind Wood, who's now at Burnley. Oh, man, I'm so far on a limb. That's just gut memory.
How dare you mention the championship in Newcastle and not lead with Matt Ritchie?
Because he's not their forward right now, and he doesn't have a goal and assist the last game. But no, you're not buying, is basically what you're saying?
No, I'm not. I'm buying in on championship fantasy darling Matt Ritchie and pretty much no one else in that team.
Fair enough. Final thought on Everton. When should people in your format start looking at Seamus Coleman?
Oh, not until he's got 2 matches under his belt and has shown that he's actually back.
If you wait 2 matches until he's actually back, he will not be there anymore because I will have taken him.
And that's fine.
You're just willing to be late on him?
Kev, just for people that are listening, if you're playing at Playtaga, if you're at playtaga.com, you're playing Taga's draft format, Kev plays in 97% of all of our active leagues. So in the 3% of active leagues that Kev's not in, guys, you got months to wait. But for the rest of you, please jump on it.
There you go. I do own shares and stocks in Seamus Coleman. Just full disclosure, hashtag sponsored. Next up, we have Southampton versus Leicester. Southampton were so sure they were going to keep a clean sheet. People that don't hate Arsenal somehow thought that Arsenal weren't going to score. They were always going to score. Southampton can't do anything defensively, but we had the third clinching obvious trend of the Charlie Austin reascension this weekend. How are you feeling about our boy Chaz? And are we thinking this is QPR Charlie Austin? Because that Charlie Austin was one of the best fantasy forwards in the game.
I like Charlie Austin a lot. Of the three options currently available in the OFPL at forward for Southampton, and those are, of course, Austin, Gabbiadini, and Shane Long.
Sorry, what was that middle name? I refuse to understand what that name is. Who's that?
Gabbiadini. I'm pretty sure I said that correctly.
Nailed it.
I'm like 90% Italian. The thing about Chaz here, obviously four goals in his last four games. He did not score in the 7 minutes he got in game week 14 against Manchester City. It's a little disgusting, right? I mean, he did manage to score in 10 minutes against West Ham, so you'd think in 7 minutes against City he'd be able to do the same. But I'm concerned only because he got 211 minutes in 15-16, 934 minutes in 16-17. Charlie Austin, and as you mentioned, you know, the Palace version of Charlie Austin, 18 goals, 8 assists, 176 OFPL points, 22 of those bonus in 3,065 minutes. That is, you know, essentially a full season, not a, you know, a full in terms of minutes, but a full season in terms of what you can expect from a high work rate, you know, attacking six player. Do I want in on him? Yeah, at 6.1 million, of course I do. At 2.3% selected, you know, that's increasing the chance that I want to own him. But Kev, after this Leicester match, when Southampton host Leicester, excuse me, when in game of 17, I meant to say, when Southampton host Leicester, is Chelsea away, Huddersfield at home, and I'm not sure that Huddersfield can't get set up with David Wagner's team to, you know, fight for a nil-nil draw there. It's Spurs away, United away. And that's taking us through the Boxing Day holiday fixtures. Yeah, and
those right are three of the five best defenses.
And I want no part of it. So yeah. The 2.3% selected makes sense to me, but if you're asking me on January 1st, would I be trying to get Charlie Austin in if he is still healthy? Yeah, because Charlie Austin from January 2nd until the 31st of March is one of the best runs of any discount forward in the game.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree with you there. We all love us some Charlie Austin. Flipping to the Leicester side, Ndidi has been popping up. Demarai Gray is getting minutes. We already know about Vahrez. What do you think about those other two, though?
What is Gray's first name?
Democrat Gray.
Okay. I thought you maybe knew something I didn't know. So
what did you think it was?
Demari. Is it not Demari?
I don't know. I've always said Demarai. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
somebody you know, hit us with the IPA, and I don't mean the beer. I mean the International Phonetic Alphabet.
Listen, guys, tweet at Kev Rov the correct pronunciation, Webster's Dictionary style.
It's at Kev Rov.
So I read a weekly column for your friend of mine, Ryan, over at Fantasy Your Mom. Mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody that listens to this also is following Ryan, but I am
high. Dude, everybody that listens to this doesn't even follow me. We average like 25,000 listens per episode, and I haven't even hit 1,000 hits, 1,000 followers on Twitter.
So that sounds like they're an astute, intelligent audience that's listening to what the fuck you're saying.
To be fair, I did make a Rauschenberg joke on my Twitter today and lost followers. And apparently people just aren't ready for that highbrow art stuff all over my feed.
Maybe it's because they're mad that you're, I don't know, mispronouncing Rorschach.
Maybe. It's all the mispronunciations. Sorry, what were you writing for, Yerma?
No, I was just saying that I give a shout out to the Riyad Mahrez Demarai Gray OFPL handcuff, because I think that if you want to have those players that only feature occasionally, Gray might be the best midfielder to have in that scenario, where if you're worried that the guy that you own isn't going to get any minutes, you really want the guy off his bench. And it's a weird thing, Cap, right? Because we never advocate handcuffing in a salary cap. But I think if Riyad Mahrez doesn't play, that team has to run through either Mark Albrighton or Demarai Gray. And I don't want any part of Mark Albrighton in OFPL. In draft, it's different. But in OFPL, I would be happy to have Damari Gray be my first sub.
Yeah. He is real, real good. And apparently the only person on earth who disagreed was Craig Shakespeare, who is obviously no longer at the club there. As for result, I think Leicester will win this one 2-1.
Do you want a result? Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably the other way. I think it's Southampton 2-1.
Okay, yeah. No, I just realized we should have been doing that this whole time. So
sure. Newcastle 11-0 over Everton.
Uh-huh.
Huddersfield 47-6 against Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Watford not against Blanky with Palace. And Burnley 1-0 against Stoke.
The least surprising of that was saying that Watford wouldn't score against Crystal Palace. next up, we have Swansea versus Man City, which could be very sloppy the other way, although I doubt many people are aware that Swansea actually have the sixth best defense in the Premier League at time of speaking. City will obviously have to be rotating a lot. You would assume in a Aguero match because it was a Jesus match today. But what I just did was try to assume what Pep Guardiola would do, and people should know better than to do that at this point. Is there anybody that's particularly sticking out to you in this one that we don't already know loads about? Like, what about Boney? He's doing stuff. He's scoring goals.
I was about to say, this is the Wilfried Boney grudge match, and I would absolutely start him if you're playing Tagus Perfect 11, if you're playing a money game. Kev, you'd have to educate me on how goals game is set up. But if it's a game where you can get a guy in for a zero penalty and benefit, mm-hmm. I would absolutely start whichever Swansea forward starts against Man City, because Man City are not coming out of this game with a clean sheet.
And they have not been.
That's correct. And this is the exact same reason. I mean, we're going to get to the Spurs-Brighton match, but this is the exact same reason why I like Pascal Gross. This is why I like Hamed if he starts. I mean, that team is it has a lot of fantasy potential. And while Spurs are probably going to beat Brighton by a considerable margin, that doesn't mean they're going to keep a clean sheet.
Yeah. It's 3 clean sheets in 10 for Manchester City. Just 1 in the last 5. And in their last 6 matches, in 5 of them, they conceded exactly 1 goal. Just very, very infuriating West Brom-esque stuff from the Manchester City defense as of late.
West Brom and Man City are exactly the same.
I know. That's why I said it. I obviously meant that last year West Brom always conceded 1, ruining everybody's clean sheet day. Obviously, City are going to win this one somewhat significantly. I think this could also be a Bernardo Silva game. Sterling, I think, has played the last 5 in all comps.
And by the way, that's a great shout for draft. If you don't own Bernardo Silva,
or if he's available,
you don't own Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, if you don't own, I mean, these kinds of players are the, if you're in an 8 or a 10 or a 12 team a draft league, if you're playing a money game and you have the ability to change right up until kickoff, those are the kinds of players that you want to jump on, because they, no one questions their skill, right? It's a Safani Bufal at Southampton.
I question Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's skill, but that we can discuss that later.
How dare you? but Heung-Min Son for Spurs against Brighton, if he's going to get that start. And by the way, this is a midweek Wednesday match. This might be a prime Eric Lamella gets a goal and 2 assists kind of game. But we'll get to that after we talk about how Liverpool are going to just annihilate West Brom.
Yep. I assume you're also on City beating Swansea, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, obvi.
Probably like 1-0, probably, a fluke John Stones goal because somebody kicks the ball off his head while he's sitting in the stands.
Yep, just for some reason, dumb like that. Next up is Liverpool, West Brom. Jurgen Klopp, man, he was real spicy in the post-match today. Do you think that'll turn things around, or do you think this could kind of spiral a little bit on him?
No, I had no problem with the way he set this team up for the Everton match. The fact that people are like, well, it's the Merseyside derby and everyone has to jump on board. Everton are a garbage team, and he set up his squad to beat a garbage team, and they did. Had Sadio Mane maybe just tapped that ball a little bit to his right instead
over
of trying
to Salah.
Score.
Yep.
Right. Or any of the other 4 Liverpool players that were like running in mass there. I mean, like, it wasn't just Salah. Had a very, very soft, albeit I'm not arguing with the credibility of the referee's call. The referee had every right to call a penalty on Dejan Lovren there. But it was a soft call, and it was one that Dejan Lovren really didn't need to draw into consideration. He did not need to put his hand on the back of Dominic Calvert-Lewin there, who's running away from goal, and Lovren's less than half a step behind him. So all that said, Liverpool, I think, outshot Everton like 23-3. That team was set up just fine. They're going to be set up the exact same way against West Brom, and I don't mean the exact same 11, of course, but they're going to be set up tactically to go up against a team that's going to be playing off the back foot. It could be 1-0. It could be 1-0 West Brom. It could be 11-0 Liverpool. You know, this is the nature of those things, but I love Firmino in this one. I think Mane keeps his place because he has not gotten a lot of minutes, and Klopp's going to try and blood him. I think Salah sits on this one with Coutinho, Mane, and Firmino leading that line. Maybe Sturridge getting some minutes. Milner, again, is a good option. And then I would look, honestly, if you're one of these people that's trying to play like a negative four, or maybe you're using one of those random wild cards, Kev, I would bring in Trent Alexander-Arnold for this one.
Will it not be Gomez?
No, I think it's going to be TAA. And I think he's going to run up and down that wing. And I like him a lot as like a kind of a differential play in OFPL. And I like him a lot. If you're in a 12-team league and you've been streaming your Defender 3, it's TAA in this one for me.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. I do think Liverpool will win this one handily. What West Brom have proven this year is that not only can they not score going forward, but they can't defend anymore either. I do like long-term like West Brom. We talked about this on our last show with Chuck, that I think Rondon becomes a really interesting option going forward because there are supporting players there. I just don't think it will click yet, especially against Liverpool, who do boast a fairly impressive home defensive record. We're going to go quicker through these last three because we've already hit the 30-minute mark, but Manchester United versus Bournemouth. You assume they aren't going to set up to defend there. Bournemouth, previously pretty much barren in attack, save for random 3- and 2-goal appearances from Wilson and Defoe. Not really impressing that much. Defensively, they're struggling, especially without Adam Smith. I'm assuming we think this is going to kind of be a Pogba show for United.
Is Pogba back yet?
No, he'll still be suspended. Wow. How unprofessional of me and uninspiring from him. Oh, man. Yeah, I really don't like this United attack when Pogba's not there. Averaging just over 1 goal a game when he's gone. Averaging more than 2+ when he's there. I like Lingard. I picked him up in our expert league. He's sneaky.
And there's like a bunch of people that are maybe between 5 and 11% owned on that United team that should absolutely be getting starts in your OFPL side. I don't think I would be spending money on them. I don't think I would be taking a hit for them. Right. But if you're in one of those zones where you want to have some additional capital, certainly Jesse Lingard and Marcus Rashford are worth a look because they lined up in this match. They didn't do anything wrong. I mean, United lost, but those two players didn't do anything wrong. And they're incredibly inexpensive. I believe they're both under 7.5% owned. So get in on them, particularly with the idea, that Pogba is still going to be suspended for that trip to West Brom on Sunday, the 17th of December.
Yeah, I assume you still think Manchester United walk away from this one. Also worth noting, unlikely clean sheet, still have not kept one without Phil Jones.
Yeah, Phil Jones is like a modern day, should we say Rio Ferdinand? Or
he's a modern day Mustafi because Arsenal can't keep clean sheets without him either.
I was going to go a little bit further maybe and say Alessandro Nesta.
Oh, yeah, much like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maldini, just standard guys. Next up,
Jones, Maldini, Nesta.
Exactly.
They're a cohort.
Right. The three-headed beast is what they called them. Next up.
Do we have to talk about Spurs? I don't think we have to talk about Spurs.
Well, we do because I don't think Dele Alli plays.
Okay.
Yeah. He has been pretty uninspiring. This last match was better, but he still is constantly making the wrong decisions. We need to keep getting Son in, who's obviously on form. I think Kane keeps his place. Eriksen has never rotated when we have these back-to-back matches. So I think Kane, Eriksen, and Son are a lock, which I think leaves Dele on the outside looking in, unless we pushed him further back to quote-unquote play next to Harry Winks or Dembele. Eric Dier does not help you right now because of annoying rules last year. He literally played 2 games more in midfield than defense, so he got that designation this season. So he's going to be playing center back until one of Toby or Davin center back. Davinson is suspended. Toby is hurt, probably through January 1 at least. So just kind of keep an eye on that. Winks is a very good pickup in draft.
I think Eriksson sits and LaMelo plays.
Interesting. I would love to see LaMelo, and he that would make sense if you thought he was replacing Dela. Then you play LaMelo, Eriksson, Sun across in a three. LaMelo is a great shout. I love him so, so much, and I'm so glad that he's back. Just his class on the ball is just he's just unique. Like the way he addresses the ball, the way he runs, his weird haircut, everything about him is unique. And he definitely brings a different vibe to this Tottenham team. Tottenham are going to walk this one. I've never even heard of Brighton. I think we're going to win by multiple goals and continue to get rid of this November jinx by being in December. We'll wrap up with West Ham versus Arsenal.
Well, I would say that LaMelo's penmanship is exceptional. Probably. This is maybe a 2-1. This is a 2-1 game, Spurs. Okay. And I don't want people to sell short their Brighton players because Tottenham when you actually... Pardon me?
Because Tottenham can't keep clean sheets?
Yeah, because Tottenham can't keep clean sheets, as we've already mentioned in this show. But also, because these guys are – they're incredibly undervalued, mm-hmm. right? I mean, when you look at the fact that Pascal Gross has 80 points and he's 6 million still.
Yeah.
And when you know you convert that to the fact that his he's only owned by 21% of all FPL managers and add to that – that he has had negative transfers in 3 of the last 4 weeks, which has reduced his overall ownership, and that he has not had a price rise since game week 13. And when you tag onto that, that once they get past Spurs, it's Burnley at home, Watford at home, Chelsea away, which is not great. But then Newcastle, Bournemouth, West Ham, Chelsea again, not great. Southampton, West Ham, Stoke, Swansea. That takes you through the 24th of February. There are 3 bad matches for Brighton in the next 4 months of football. There's no reason to get rid of any of your Brighton players right now.
Agreed, especially at the value that they bring. The last match, West Ham versus Arsenal. West Ham obviously just upset Chelsea. Arsenal
West
just
Ham
upset.
9-0.
Arsenal just upset Southampton's clean sheet chances. There are 2 players in the Premier League right now who are top 5 in both shots on target and chances created over the last 5 matches. Who are they?
Give me those 2 stats again.
Top 5 in both shots on target and chances created over the last 5 matches.
Wow.
I'll give you a hint. One of them's in this match.
One of them is in this match. Eden Hazard and Harry Kane.
No. How'd I do? It's Salah and Alexis Sanchez. And I've seen a lot of people saying, why would you own Alexis? He isn't doing enough. But here's the thing. He is. So people need to get over themselves. Yes, the price is high in the official game. And he was probably in the first 3 picks in any official draft. But he is still worth owning. He is still dominating teams. And this kind of narrative that he's already working his way out of the club is not reflective of what he's doing on the pitch.
So listen. If someone's gotten this far in your podcast and they don't just auto click on it because it pops up every time like a Beeflings beef jerky ad auto plays in the background, they're gonna not have to bother reading my column this week at Fantasy Yerma where I preview the midweek matches for the OFPL because that is exactly almost verbatim what I said about Alexis.
Yeah,
the man's phenomenal. The fact that you can get him as a positional differential, as a midfielder, is absurd. And if you have the money, and again, anybody that wants to play a Jack Cork or a Goodmanson or a Ruben Loftus-Cheek or any of these kind of low end in terms of cost, but mid-range in terms of point potential midfielders, you have the funds available, particularly with Tammy Abraham out there, Roberto Firmino, Wilfried Bonny.
We talked about DCL earlier.
Sure, Dominic Calvert-Lewin. There was another one that I really wanted to hammer on. For the love of God, Charlie Austin coming back into form. Right. I mean, all of a sudden you have 3 or 4 extra million. Alexis Sanchez, Eden Hazard, Mo Salah, they can all be in your midfield without sacrificing in other positions.
Yeah. I mean, you probably need a price dump at each position to do it, but there's no reason to not to really. So in Arsenal, West Ham, I think West Ham will somehow rest on their laurels of a 1-0 win. Arsenal, I think, will be a little bit fiery. Also, I do like Aaron Ramsey, who continues to pop up on those creation stats as well, although he does have a little yellow flag on him at time of recording. Where do you think this one's going to go?
17-0 West Ham.
Interesting. That'll do it for us
my
today.
Here's my thing. Uh-huh. I bought into Lacazette and Aaron Ramsey this past weekend because I wanted them for this match, and I still like them for this match. Yep. And you mentioned chance creation stats. Aaron Ramsey, and here's the thing. Aaron Ramsey is a good chance creation per pound investment. Correct. But he's not a great chance creation investment. It's still Mesut Ozil. It's still Alexis Sanchez. Mm-hmm. That are driving that team. Mesut Ozil has more than 2.5 times the number of chances created than Aaron Ramsey does. Mm-hmm. But in the short term, while Ramsey's healthy and is playing a little bit out of position, Michael Kelly, MC of A, just wrote a really good article about the reemergence of Aaron Ramsey, which actually lends credence to the fact that maybe he's not quote-unquote out of position, like I say, but this is the new wave of how Arsenal is deploying him, which should give a lot of comfort to FPL and draft managers that want to invest in Aaron Ramsey today for the remaining 22 matches of the season, including the West Ham match. But please don't sleep on Mesut Ozil. If you want to say he's not worth the price, that's fine. But he's less than 1% owned. And the man is like, he's a god when it comes to creating chances.
Yeah. That'll do it for us on this quick ad hoc version of our show. John, tell the folks where they can get at you.
Oh, wow. They can find me at my personal phone number, which is is that what we're doing? You can find me on Twitter at Fantasy Gaffer. You can read a bunch of stuff that I write at Fantasy Irma, at Sports Illustrated, if you want to read my archives, at playtaga.com if you want to read my archives, on this show at Talkin' Taga, which is available on SoundCloud, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and whatever that thing is where you yell at Alexa, "Hey Alexa, please play Talkin' Taga."
I'm so glad I have my headphones plugged in and she didn't just respond. you can find me on Twitter at Kavroff. You can find my articles at goal.com. Also, you should listen to the Premier League and Championship shows on this very channel if you are so inclined. Also, Rob and I do a DFS video every week for VIPbet.com. So if you're interested in that, be sure to go check that out as well. John, thank you so much for joining me. I will talk to you in just a few minutes on your show, so it won't be too long for us. But people listening, thanks for listening. We're going to try to get a show out to you Wednesday night. They've been historically hard for us to do, but that's the aim anyway. We'll keep you updated. Of course, follow us at EPL Roundtable, at Kavroff, and at FPL_MNOP. John, thanks so much for joining us. People at home, thanks so much for listening. Best of luck to all of your teams, and we'll catch you next time.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.